I want to talk about preaching the gospel. And then that would be the title. Preaching the gospel, raising disciples. Matthew 28. You there? Verse 18. Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and the earth. Then he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, to the end of the world. Amen. So he said, go and teach all nations. In Mark 16, you find the same account. Mark 16, in verse 15. And that's why it's called the synoptic. Synoptic means they are seeing it together. I think I explained that last day retreat. How that the book of John is not part of the synoptics. He had a different view from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So you call Matthew, Mark, and Luke the synoptics. But John is not. He has a different account. Alright, let's look at the synoptic, Mark 16, 15. Go, ye therefore, and preach the gospel to every creature. Am I right? I go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized is saved. He that believes not is damned. And these signs shall follow those who believe. He didn't say they will believe in these signs. He said these signs will follow those who believe. Again, why am I preaching the gospel and raising disciples? I want to be overly emphatic, telling in the coming years that we don't lose focus. Of course, we want more men to yield to the Lord. We want to see more men around for our meetings, but not at the expense of compromising the truth of God's word. We don't want to compromise it. We don't want to water down what is the message. Observe, he didn't say go into the world and gather crowd. He said go and preach. So we have a duty in preaching. We must not serve Jesus by not preaching Jesus. You get that? We must not serve Jesus by not preaching Jesus. But we need to look at what does it mean to preach the gospel? Because, and he said, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Because there was a time in this is 2020, so, early in the decade, not early in this decade, I think it was about 2004-05, church history, must learn a lot of that, pastor. And there was this movement, it was called the church growth movement. It started with quite some, honesty, to be sincere. I was much younger, so I might not have a lot of details about that, as it were. Like, if I was this age then, okay. So, but history has it that it has a lot of good things to it. But then, along the way, so what the church group movement was to educate people, especially pastors and church leaders, on how to grow their churches. And so they started doing some things. But along the way, of course, as with everything that is not in the word of God, the devil will find a way to manipulate it in your hands. So people started to just grow churches. And you find churches having crowds and no one is born again. In fact, it got to extent people, they started rewarding people in churches, best soul winner. Imagine us having, and what they do is, at the end of the year, the church is going to have a party. So they say, hey, is that not church? See what our own church is doing. We are in the sun. Playing, doing la ba la ba la ba la ba la ba. Church party. So they call it something conference, something whatever. So the church is going to have a party, then they are going to give awards to inspire people to win souls. So they're going to give best giver, whatever that means. Best giver goes to Sister Ajelen Koko from Zone D, best winner. They give you best winner award, would they back? So where's your reward? Who did the pastor pay Mudanisa? And so they give awards. And so people, in the course of the year, they are working, not for God, they are working towards the award night. So that, such that, the number of awards you now get determines whether you will be a pastor or, yes, shame. That is no longer the gospel. That one is God's spell. You know, gospel is different from God's spell. That one is God's spell. Hallelujah. What is the gospel? Of course, a part of the church group movement now people are organizing shows, concerts, summer night. I'm not even going to talk about those ones. That one is even too evil. It's too useless to be talking about. A drama night. You know, no one even had a carol. Now, I know I might be quite insensitive in the entire book of Acts in the church. We need a single case of the Christmas carol. Yeah, I think we have a teaching on that, whether Christmas or not. Forgotten, we did that in Bali. I'm not against Christmas. Who does not like Christmas? I like Christmas. My favorite time of the year. Christmas. I like Christmas. Hallelujah. You get to eat, you get to do, I like Christmas. Not saying it's one. I can't say because I like Christmas. I will not talk the truth. Because I will tell Martina that I will drink Christmas. One, organize the carol service in the Bible. Carol is even better. Sincerely, I will have a carol any day, anytime. What year was that? I said I wanted to attend the carol by force. I took you guys. What year was that? Okay. I wanted to attend the carol. I had 2018, Abby. Cost it. But you see, drama night. That one is worse. You know? The drama that you just did, drama, everybody's crying. Which one is man full of the spirit of God. Now I did that drama. You see, me, I acted. I can dance well. Aha. We mean the amount of it. I know them well. I fast play. Well, daily, it's simple. Anyone who is using that for entertainment, good. You can use that for entertainment. You see, you can make money. Do all of that. But the moment you are using that to bait people to church, you are no longer raising disciples. You are no longer raising that. You are not fulfilling the Great Commission. And so, we need to know, what does it mean to raise disciples? And so, they brought in the issue of shows, concerts. You know, just do something fine. Let people come. Put AC in the church, which is good. AC in the church, I'm not against it. If you want to give us AC. But you see, you don't lure people to Christ. So you see people, they start begging people to come to service. They'll print out flyers, do a lot. And eventually, the kind of people you will invite to your services are people that want to come and do point and key. You don't know point and key. You don't know point and key. Fish are they? Exactly. You don't know point and key. The fish are the one I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about? It's a methodology. Points is system key. Yeah. The disciples you are bringing, who bring on one church? As you see, Mr. Dora, these days, and these are glory days. We have glorious times. Because you did not preach the gospel to him. I know that's not here. Praise God. You start to raise the kind of people that what they came to church is to collect food. First time. As a student in Lutz, I know that very well. Now, I've never done it before. But Sunday afternoon when people, when they arrive, my roommate when I was in 300 level, he broke a record. He attended 28 churches in a semester. 28. I said, you know, if you go to hell, you have no option, you have no excuse. They should welcome you open-handed. I mean, arms wide. 28 churches. Why? Salad, fried rice. He said, you will not start comparing. The one that we even went to last 4 weeks. Those ones, they gave us skinny. They gave us a pen, gave us a, I don't know this one, so they just gave us carrot and, So what they do is that, they have a click. They brief each other, where did you go last week? What did they give you? Makes sense. Okay, give me address. And then there's a bad attitude. They bring bus. So, you don't have to transport yourself there. There's bus that will take you to and fro to church. What else do you need? So, they just stay with the bus. Of course, the pastor will be happy. Huh? The one that is coordinating. Hallelujah. Men are raised. He's not raising anything. No. So, we need to know, what does he mean to preach? Or to raise disciples? In Romans 10, that's why, because of all those award nights and all those things, you can't afford to preach the gospel to someone and tell the person, just go to a Bible-believing church. Because you can't be sure of what they're going to tell him there. You can't afford it. That's costly. Bible-believing church. Before you know it, you will go to Jehovah's Witnesses. Or church of Pepper Dem Saints. Latter-day Saints, sorry. Church of Jesus Christ. There's nothing Jesus Christ about it. I'm saying that one categorically. I don't care whoever hears this. I'm on church of Latter-day Pepper Dem Saints. I don't know. You know, I've seen it all.
I've got it all.
So we must be careful not to follow that pattern. It's a wrong one. All in the name of gathering crowds, getting people, you know. It's going to be amazing. You know, you come for a Thursday service and the entire hall, by the time you are getting to church around 5:45, you don't even have a space in the hall. It's going to be nice. I think, at least I hope I have a space. Right? It's going to be nice. But you see, we can have that at the expense of working against the kingdom of God. It's not just about gathering crowds. It's about raising disciples. Romans 10, verse 14. And this teaching will be very important as well in the years to come. Talking about years more than 2021. Years to come. The teaching will all refer back to again. Verse 14. How shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they call on him whom they have not believed? Again, the call here, Kalio, is actually flimsy, as it were. Flimsy in the sense that it's the way you call people, the way you mention people. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
And of course, that's at the background, the way you relate to someone as per miracles, the way they related with Jesus in the Gospels. Right? When they said, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, have mercy on me. That kind of calling, yeah. So they say, how can they call on someone who has not believed? So the issue is not calling. A lot of people mention the name of Jesus. The question is, have they believed? The calling is like, okay, let's do that. How shall they call on me? Whom they have believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? He didn't say of whom they have not heard about. Because many have heard about Jesus, but they have not heard him. The hearing here is obedience, acquiesce. Does it make sense? To eat, to yield to someone. They say, how can they believe when they have not heard? So, before I will believe, before I yield, that means there will be a message. Right? There will be a message to yield to, of whom they have not heard. And that's why verse 17 will say, faith comes by hearing the word of God. So, faith comes by hearing a message. There is a particular message. Was the name of Jesus popular in these times? Yes. Were there people that believed in Jesus' miracles but did not believe in him? Huh? Were there people that received healing in their body and they did not believe in Jesus? So, healing on outreaches is not tantamount or equal to raising disciples. They have to hear a message of whom they have not heard. So, believing in Jesus is not believing in miracles. Mm-mm. He's talking about the message. How many of you used to go to church before you got saved? I used to. Let me see your hands. You're already going to church before you got saved. Let me see. Almost everybody. In fact, some of you are even winning Bible quiz. You did Bible competition, you won. And that day, if you are died, that day you go to hell after winning Bible quiz. So, it's not your Bible quiz. In fact, I have a friend that has been, I don't know how he managed to, but he has been singing in tongues before he got saved. Lili mo money. He used to be embarrassed when he said, he has been singing in tongues before he got saved. God knows who he was singing to. So, it's not an organized religion. There must be a message. So, he's not talking about people hearing about Jesus. There are people that touch his clothes and never have eternal life. So, he's not talking about hearing about Jesus. He's talking about hearing the message. How shall they believe when they have not heard? You've got to hear something. Well, go ahead. Let's continue. Romans 10, that's where we are. Verse 14. And how shall they hear without a preacher? So, no one is saved on their own. There must be a preacher who is going to bring the message. Verse 15. And how shall they preach except they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Of course, that's quoting Isaiah 52 verse 7. So the preacher is the one who has been sent. By using the word sent, listen very well, it means you cannot give your own message. You are sent. That means the message is not yours. the message is of the one who sent you. How shall they preach except they are sent? So he gave us his message. Right? 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians, turn there. He gave us his message. So he sent us with his message. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He sent us with his message. In verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Verse 18, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by what? Jesus Christ. And has given us what? Some versions say the message. What is that in it? The message of reconciliation. What's that? If you don't have it, verse 19 will give it to you. In verse 18, verse 19 now. For which God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, in not being ashamed unto them, and has committed unto us what? The word of reconciliation. That's the word, the message. So he gave us the message of reconciliation. Don't forget, we're talking about preaching the gospel, raising disciples. So you have been given the message of reconciliation. Why am I preaching at all? Number one, I have been saved by the gospel. Right? Right? Come on, have you been saved by the gospel? That's verse 18. He has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Number two, I have been sent by the gospel. I've been saved by the gospel. I've been sent by the gospel. I must stand by the gospel. That's the three. Then number four, I must preach the gospel. I must. So he gave us a definite message. So it's not, again, by saying you have been sent, we said that takes away the idea of you having your own individual message, right? So, what he sent, Brother Pam, is what he sent, Bro Promise. Is what he sent, Bro Orwell. Is what he sent, Bro Shola. Is what he sent, Dad Judith. He gave us the same message. Say the same message. Because if you are not careful, you can bring another message. In Galatians 1, Paul talked about that. Galatians 1. And so, when there's another message, that's when you now see all of this gibberish. Someone was telling me at work recently, there's a church that does referral. I was almost crying. Referral. If you bring one person, you get 500 naira. If the person is a quality soul. He was explaining everything to me. And he was showing me. He has gotten his own bonus. Equality soul, get the quality soul, the one that asks her. If you bring the one that asks her, it's 2,000. Non-quality soul are people like students like you now. You just came with school bag, 500 naira on you. Quality soul, 2,000. If you bring 10, you're going to give 20,000 of quality soul. Now it's not another message. Now, let's put it very well, devil's message. It will have another. A para, bonus, massage. He said there's a department in church and there are people responsible for that department. You just drag the people you brought. Yeah, I brought things to service today. Wow. Welcome to church. You wait behind and they're going to say to you. At first I felt like laughing. Then I almost cried. What made me almost cry was when I saw his own referral bonus. He said, see, like me now, I didn't want to collect cash. He said, he transferred. And in the transfer, the description, church referral only. That means they take it as a ministry. They probably have a cell leader in charge of that. Ah! Hallelujah! Galatians 1. In verse 6, I marvel that you are soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto what? Another gospel. So in other words, it's possible to move. These guys have been saved with the gospel, by the gospel, but they have moved to what? Another gospel. The unfortunate thing in the entire phrase, that the word gospel is retained. Another gospel. Heteros uagelion. Looks alike. It looks like it, but it's not it. Another gospel. Uagelion, that's gospel. That's good news. So that means what they are going to bring to you is also good news. But it's not God's news. See, people preach and say, if you come to our church, if you give your life to Christ, your business will just start changing. Everything will just start moving. You want to pass the exam. And you see people, some will even do flyer with testimonies at the back, full of lies. exaggerations and half truths. See, if you want your business to prosper, see, this man that you are seeing now in the flyer, are you seeing his bigot? Are you seeing? As of last week, he was a gate man. The day he came to our church, the next day, the chairman of the company stood up from the seat, said, come and sit down. Our pastor is hot. How go not go? Now he's a multi-billionaire. Praise the Lord. See, he just wants to come to their service. He just wants to get, then he now says, outrageous testimonies. Hallelujah! He would be like, I want to thank the God of our Father on this mountain. Along my bow, okay. Brethren, I want to tell you, God is on this mountain. They are paid up to fight. I'm not saying everybody, I'm not saying every case you see. But there's a particular one, this one I'm telling you the story. And we're about to tell you what the person said. They fought. The church did not pay balance. He said he did not say it well. Where are we sent to? He said he did not say it well. He will change the game. Oh, last week. This is well. I'm not a gospel. So it looks like the gospel. It looks like it. It's also sounding like good news. But it's another gospel. I put to you that if you are going on outreaches and all you are doing is just showing miracles and healing, it's another gospel. That is not the gospel. So you don't even think that. The moment you are supposing healing and it's clean, you are easy to grace disciples, you are preaching another gospel. Like I said earlier, these signs will follow those that believe. He didn't say they will believe in these signs. Are you with me? Are you with me tonight? He said you have been moved to another gospel. So it's good news, but it's another kind. Verse 6, Galatians 1:6. I marvel that you are so removed, between that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there are some that trouble you. Who would pervert the gospel of Christ? They will pervert the gospel of Christ. Verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach another gospel than that which we have preached unto you, let him be separated. Let him be accursed. As we have said before, I say now again. Paul is repeating himself. That means it's important. I say now again, if any man preach to you another gospel than what you have received, let him be accursed. Can we verse 10 together? For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For yet if I please men, I am not a servant of Christ. When you go to outreaches, and you say you what people want to hear, you are seen that the guy, as you are there since morning, you know, sell shing bang. Maybe he's selling engine oil. He didn't sell anything. You know, say, I'm looking at your shop. Mele, Meto, Mene, Keta. Customers don't come in often, Abi. You have been there for 20 minutes. Who came? Customers don't come often. I say, yeah. The God of the Father, my own Father, my Gio, God of your Father. In the name, you just come to church. You will see miracle. You will see turn around. Someone has fought a pastor before. Apparently, one of the members went to preach that the business of the man will prosper. After 3 months, man went to lock up pastor. Okay. Your member say, hey, my business will move. Why is it not moving? It has gone from bad to worse. Like Arsenal team. See what's happening? The pastor could not escape. I bet they will lead him and they beat him up. Hallelujah. Don't go and preach rather than someone come and beat me up. Imagine another gospel. He said, if I persuade men, if I speak to please men, he said, I'm no longer a servant of Christ. If I give men what they want, then I'm no longer a servant of Christ. Your message must be independent of people's desires. The message I'm going to preach to the one who is failing in school is the same message I'm going to give to the one who is passing in school. The same message I'm going to give to the senator is the same message I'm going to give to the pauper. The gospel has no respect for societal status. Are you clear? So, faith does not come by luring people. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Don't lure people to church. I'm telling you, girls, as church members, don't lure anyone to church. Don't sweet word any man to church. Preach the gospel. Don't say, no, you want your life to change. When you preach that kind of message, you want your life to change. If you want your life to change, just come to a retreat. Except you know the kind of life to change that you're talking about. Understand? Eh? Like some of you, your life has changed. Literally. Hallelujah. Because when you preach miracles and money to get people into church, you are going to raise disciples of greed and covetousness. you are going to raise people who are going to be greedy and covetous, not people who are full of faith. Faith can only be found in the message. Say in the message. Say in the message. Faith is not found in emotions. It's not found in stories. It's not found in scary vision. Say, I went to hell. As I got to hell, the Lord showed me hell. He showed me heaven. He said, which one do you want, my son? Can you hear that? My son, which one do you want? You just think God is mad. I didn't understand even reading your vision very well. He showed me heaven. I said, wow, the street of gold, the gate of iron. You saw street of gold. Utumparo, pastor. Then, as I was about to wallow in the glory, he took my hand. And we just went down. I know the story. We just kept going down. I said, Lord, where are we going? He said, my son. My son. Oh, you hear me? Who I begat by the blood. Don't break. I said, Lord, I trust in you. I will trust in you. Papa. We landed. I saw men with weaver. I saw skin peeling. I saw a man. He said, give me water. Abraham, faith is not in scary stories. Faith is in the message. Faith is not in how that you used to be in the world. Imagine going to outreach and after telling stories, say, what have you done? You have not even done it. Have you seen like this? Is this thing that you are seeing like this? Imagine telling someone, say, is this thing that you are seeing like this? When I used to sing, when I was in my prime, when I was in my prime in the world, when I used to sing, all this was not sing now. We stole church money, doing service, we like this, we put on, not sing. But you see, the Lord has arrested me. Faith is not in those stories. Faith is not emotional. It's in the message. It's not in visions. So as a church, we must not want to grow because we want because we want to fill our churches. We must want to grow because we want many to be saved and to be teaching God's word too. Is it making sense? We want men to grow so because we want them to be saved. Not so that we can fill our churches. We don't want that kind of disciples. Do you want? I don't want to. Disciples are as they sit in church and saying, Lord, my kid, disciples, you are. What is the English of Shiwao? Misbehave. No, your time should be in church and you are the rest assured that he's receiving God's word. He's not going to act any. It's not by the time that pastor is going to hack. And you will see how to attain that, raising disciples. I'm going to get to that place. The faith is where in the message. Don't lure people. Matthew 28. Go back there. Is that where you are coming from? Go back. So look at what Jesus told them. Verse 19. Go ye therefore and make disciples. Teach all nations. So you don't set out on evangelism to kill the church. You set out on evangelism to go and raise disciples. Is that clear? The reason as you are going on outreach, you are setting out to go and raise them. Not so that you can have someone to put in your discipleship chat. Or to bring to church and show his it next Sunday. That's wrong. So, by saying to go out and raise disciples, then we need to look at that word disciple. Right? So we know, what am I doing with the gospel? Disciple. I know I took you to, through disciple yesterday night. Yeah? We are going around that way today. The first mention of the word disciple is in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. The first mention of the word disciple in New Testament Greek is in chapter 5. And seeing the multitudes, Matthew 5:1, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came to him. Say his disciples. Observe the personalization. His disciples. When he was set, his disciples. Let's see, how did he make them? In chapter 4, verse 18. And Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brethren, Simon. Okay, there's a Simon here. Simon called Peter. And Andrew, his brother. Unfortunately, this one's brother is not Andrew. I don't know what kind of mistake that one is. I've called you Andrew. Casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Can we read verse 19 to 20 together? And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets. Again, that follow me, I will make you fishers of men. I've taught you that how that the four gospels, oftentimes, their account is what? Summative. Right? Summative. Good. So, sometimes when you just see short words like, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. That's not what he told them. That is the way Matthew explained it. That's why you see Mark explaining the same event and he's writing a broad, right? Is it making sense? You see Luke explaining his own and he wrote from like verse 44 to verse 50 something. Is it making sense? Eh? So, oftentimes each writer comes with his summary of what Jesus said. For example, if I ask all of you, if I check your quotes of what I've been saying this morning, what you observe is that you wrote different things. Even though the same intent, the same message, but you probably wrote different things. Right? Let me see. Let me do that. Yeah. So, someone wrote here, I'm coming to you next, you should know. So, you set out on evangelism to go and raise disciples. Not just to bring to church. Observe the personalization, his disciples. And then show some things after that. I hope I see your writing. Okay, you set out on evangelism to raise disciples. By saying go out and raise disciples, we need to look at the word disciple. Now, did you find that in our own? No. Right? So, the first place that the word disciples was used was in Matthew 5:1. And she wrote Matthew 5. Okay, good. They wrote up the same thing. Don't say, Pastor, don't come to me. The first mention of the word disciple. Okay. We need to look at the word disciple. So we need to know what we are doing. Now, that we need to know what we are doing. None of them wrote it. So it talks like that. Is it making sense? So these folks, Jesus already died. He already rose from the dead. Ascended. He was no longer with them in the flesh. And then they now came together after many, they came after many years to write down all the things they experienced with him. So they are different accounts. Of course, they are writing about the same intent, the same events, but they are going to put it in their own dictionaries. That is this. Good. So when you see, follow me, I will make you a fisher of men. It's a short word for the long thing he told Peter. You don't just go to someone and say, follow me. Is it making sense? You don't just go to someone and say, follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. And he will not drop his net. Leave his father, verse 22. He left the sheep with the father. Because he just said, follow me. No. Jesus taught Peter. So, the summary of what he told Peter was, follow me. I will make you a fisher of men. So, he removed Peter's attention from things to men. I will make you. So, in the gospel, we are made. In the gospel, we find purpose. Like my Ghanaian brothers would say, purpose. We find purpose. Hallelujah. In the gospel, I will make you. I can stay on this one for 2 days. I will make you fishers of men. Or I'll make you a fisher of men. So, it makes sense when you now say, his disciples. Does that make sense now? There are people he has been teaching. Look at verse 22. Immediately they left the sheep and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every man of sickness. And all. Again, he was with his disciples. Teaching. So, by the time he now comes to chapter 5 verse 1, he says, his disciples, their folks he has been teaching. Teaching. So when you find the gospel, of course, you find purpose. I've said that. They have been teaching. So, again, listen very well. Preaching the gospel, raising disciples, we involve what? From what I've said over that you can understand. We involve what? Teaching, we involve what? Preaching and teaching, Putting, okay, yes. Putting our focus, putting their focus in men, not in things. Alright? Say, why did I come to you now? Say, well, I don't want Wahala. We involve preaching the message, right? We involve teaching. Don't compromise the integrity of the message to get people to church. It's a year of focus ahead. Don't compromise the integrity of the message. You see some people, they are in church to get connections. As they are entering church, they are looking, who is who? They are looking at the car park. How many cars? What's the level of the car? I had a roommate like that in school. The same guy that used to go to that is, I went to 28 churches. I won't mention his name. You will know him then. 28 churches. He will still go to his own, no? He always just collects first time I pass it. Because churches these days just have, they can have 4 services. Can you have 4 services and you finish before 1? Before 12, you are done. 4 services.
When did you start? 2 a.m. Because our own one service, I don't know how many hours now. I don't know. I changed it small without announcing. If you found out, good. If you not find out, well, some of you must have found out. I just turned up volume small. You found out? But I don't understand how you can have 4 services between 7 and 12. That's 5 hours. So it's necessary. It's okay. He knows how he does his things. And you come back with pictures. You say, ah, see moto. Say, see car. That way I see today. For that thing, so you go that church, that island church, that time. How more? You saw that Lamborghini now? How Lamborghini put that shit? That's what he goes to church for. Some folks go to church for connection. Who can give me work? Where can I get contract? Then I say, why didn't you come? He said, your message was too long. The issue was not the message. If there were senators there, and the MD of banks, they would still come here, but for the right reasons. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the gospel. For discipleship. If there are senators, commissioners, you will say because the message is long. Say, why is pastor's message short? Why is it short? I want to keep saying Adamu Adamu. So the issue is not the message, really. Don't compromise the message. Don't compromise the word. Jesus took Peter from things to men. Then he left his nets. Left his father and followed him. Someone who can leave the father. Remember Jesus? First, right? He left the father and followed him. He said, his disciples. His disciples. Also like that. I heard the story. He's in an estate. So there's a rich man in the estate. So the members went to meet the rich man. I should come to their church now. So that he gives them PR. So the rich man said, who are you? He said, I'm a member. Can you go on deacon? I want your pastor to come. So the pastor came. Dog first chased the pastor in the compound. And later, the pastor had begged. It's a true story. One of these orthodox churches. Pastor had begged that, you see, God has blessed you. When people see in Jesus, when they see that you are coming, they will know that God is working in our midst. You know? And so after 1 week, they made the man, the chairman of the church council. So they wanted to do a project, the building project. He supplied like a truck load of cement. Money was not the issue. Eventually, he started marrying the choir ladies one by one. I think he married 4. Not married like that, you understand? Just briefly. 4. And the pastor could not talk. He calls the pastor by name in meetings. Say, James, I told you. You have compromised the integrity of the message. Rich or poor, the message is the same. Is that okay? You don't compromise the integrity of God's word. Faith is in the message. So again, we're looking at that word, disciples. So you are going out so you can raise disciples. Disciples. John 8:31. Learning something. I'm just shouting. Learning something? John 8:31. Can we read together? Jesus said unto them, I believe on him. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples. So disciples are known by the message. If you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. By the message. By the message. So who is the disciple? It's the word matthetes. M-A-T-H-E-T-E-S. And I told you that when you find words like that, they always have surrounding words. Yesterday I took you from Matthew, right? Right? Which is to teach. Right? Teach all nations. I said, it's a big word that has all other words around it. Just like the word salvation. I give an example of that. When you want to say soteria, you're going to have the sota, which is a savior. You're going to have a salvation, which is sozo, right? You're also going to have surrounding words like forgiveness, remission, affesis, right? You're going to have surrounding words that make up that big word. So when you have matitu, you have a matitis, which is the disciple. You have mat, M-A-T-H, which has to do with mental work. That's where you got mathematics from. Mental work. So that means discipleship will be a change in my thinking. It's one of the surrounding words of matthetes. Discipleship will be a change in my thinking. Another word you have around matthetes will be mantano. M-A-T-H-A-N-O. M-A-T-H-A-N-O. You have mantano, which means to learn. So that means you cannot have a disciple who is not learning. Disciple means one who is learning. And who also has mental work to his learning, right? That means he's going to have a change of mind, a change of thinking. Mantano. Let's look at that word mantano. In Matthew 9, Matthew chapter 9, verse 13. But go ye and learn what that means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I am come to call the righteous, but I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Go and learn. Mantano. Go and learn. Matthew 11, 29. Go and learn. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Learn of me. So, when you are going to preach, the world needs to learn of Christ. Mantano. Matthew 24, verse 32. Now, learn a parable of the fig tree. Learn a parable of the fig tree. John 7. John 7, verse 15. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? So, Matthew, or Mantano rather, better put right, Mantano, learn, will mean when you come to a realization of something, knowledge. Knowledge. When you come to realize, go and learn of me. If you come by instructions, if you come by explanation, you will learn. It comes by explanation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By explanation. That means you must explain. You can't have proper discipleship without explaining. There's no going out to preach on outreach and then you are beating around the bush and you must explain. Whatever is rushed will lack quality. Whatever is rushed will lack quality. You must take time to explain. So, a man cannot claim to be born again when he doesn't understand Jesus as a savior. Learn. You find it in Romans 6, Mantano, Romans 16, 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine that you have learned. You find it in 1 Corinthians 4, 16. Tempted to open everything. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. That word followers. Be ye learners. Learn of me. Find it in 1 Corinthians 4, 6, 14, 14. 14:16, we talk about the gift of prophecy. 14:31, rather. 14:31. For ye all may prophesy one by one, that all may learn. That is, when you prophesy one by one, tongues and interpretation, everybody will learn. Everybody will come to realize what you are saying. Is it making sense? So, again, you cannot have discipleship without mantano, without learning. Why am I going through this kind of teaching? It's a minister's retreat. You should learn about this. So, when you meet someone on outreach, the first thing you must do is that he must learn. They are not just gathering people for gathering sake. No. What's the point of gathering people that are not born again? What's the point of gathering people week in, week out? Are walking in the flesh. What's the point of gathering people week in, week out that are not contributing to salvation of souls? They are not contributing to men yielding to Christ. What's the point? I see no point. We want men, strong men. Men that will raise other men. Hallelujah. Is that what you want? So don't go and ask you and be doing and you come to our church. Let's come to our church. Have a taste of glory. Have a taste of power. We are here to learn. And that's why you have cells. Look at Glorious Pastor. Look at the structure, for example. You have cells. You have study group. You will be learning one way or the other. There's no way you not learn. When you are done with church service, you are going to have your cell meeting, you are going to have your prayer. You'll be learning. And the cells are so structured in a way that when you get to a particular amount in the cell, what happens? Eh? You split. We don't want it to be so cloudy that we don't know who is not learning. Nobody's building an empire here. I've told you before, we are not planning to become the largest church. It's not in the books. It's not in the vision. People will be learning. They are here to raise ministers. Hallelujah. Learn. So, when you go now, the first thing is that you are explaining. That's how to raise disciples. You take time to explain. How did the apostles make disciples? Don't make the mistake of, let's bring him in first. When we bring him in, you now start to learn. Mm-mm. Let him start learning. Is it making sense? That's why you give yourself a problem. You bring someone first, and the first thing is that you already ask questions. You ask questions. I don't agree with what your pastor is saying. Why? He has not learned. Is it making sense? For example, you can't bring someone to, and his first meeting is dialogue with the prophet. He can never agree to what I'm saying. Usually, he don't even agree. He will not understand what I'm saying. We are hearing Abraham, Noah. So Noah, the hack. From Noah, I say, okay, corroborative. He said, I wasn't corroborative. He can't understand. But you see, if you have done a good work in discipleship, it's easier to learn in church. And so, what is the Great Commission? You're going to make men learn. Or like my supervisor would say, when I was going to make man learn. You must be learning. Babaye, you will learn. I got involved in, they gave me the project. And I went to him as his professor. He told me, Atejion, oh, I have seen your name. You are one of the people I was like, you will learn. I mean, you are going to learn. I knew I was going to learn. So that when he comes to class, he repeats what he has been saying for a year. I be sympathetic to him. Go back to the parasympathetic chain of the spinal cord. And he's going to say the next week, going to say the upper week. He's not going to ask questions. The point is that we never got to understand perfectly what he was still saying. Even after 6 months of saying it every week. But he'll tell you, you are going to learn. So, in outreach, in discipleship proper, the first thing that men are going to learn. Anyone who is not learning is not a disciple. We don't want to build what others are building. No, we are not going to allow the fast-paced, quick fix, impatient generation of this world to have a toll on us. We are patiently building. Hallelujah. Patiently. One block after the other, we will do what Christ has sent us. We don't want suddenly 85 people just come to service. If they are learning, good. But if I see that, I'm going to be weary. I'll probably have to multiply the cells and ensure that they are learning. Not only a case where we have protest in church. We know go green, yo, we know go green. No dialect of prophets. We know go green. We want Adam and Eve salmon. Business salmon. Business salmon. Business salmon. Or pastor out. Anyway, they say Ateta out. I'm not saying Ateta out though. But anyway, they say coach out. Say pastor out. We don't want him. We want Brother Ashola. We want Brother Owe. We are not even calling Brother Owe. Bishop Powell is our pastor. Bishop Powell. So that we don't have that kind of case. Ensure you disciple people. Hallelujah. There's no great commission without men learning. There must be a mantano. So let's look at how did Peter preach and 3,000 were saved. And then the Bible says the disciples multiplied. Acts 2:44. How? Go to Acts 2. Let's see Simon in Acts 2. Acts 2. He started out in verse 16. He said, this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. He shall come apart and say, see how he started. I'm not going to read everything. He started, he brought out Joel. Before you knew it, he went to David. Because there's no proper Israel that does not know David. You have to know David to be Israel. Eh? He was the second king of Israel. Saul was the first. And so you will know David. Praise God. God. Hope you know David is the great grandson of Ruth. Hope you know. Okay, now you know. So you see why Ruth is in the gospel. But now that's not the story for today. Alright, so we start from Joel, text David. See explanation. See explanation. Look at verse 22. You men and Israel, hear this word. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved among you by miracles and wonders, signs that we got divine in the midst of you, as you have known him be divine, but damnedly cursed, child of God and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by the wicked hands, and have crucified and slain, whom God raised up. Are you seeing what he's saying? He's bringing the death to play. He didn't start from the death. He started by the promise of the prophet. Then he brought into what they did. Then he's making them know that he has been raised. Then he's now using the prophet again to vindicate, how that he actually has been raised. So he went back to David. See what he's doing? This is proper Bible study. Now, this might look this short, but this is some explanation. He's not just going to quote Joel. He's going to explain Joel. So aside from the promise of the prophet that the Messiah will come, then he went that he has come, you killed him, but he's raised from the dead. Before they say, how is he raised? He went back. Did David not say it? You will not allow my bones, you will not allow my flesh to see corruption. Right? I will not remain in the grave. He said, but David is buried and is dead and buried with us. So who is not in the grave? Christ. See how he lays his course. Explanation. His sermon is what we are still explaining today. We have used sermon, Acts 2, to do series before. That's someone's sermon. I'm using someone's sermon to now do series. Can they use your own sermon to do series? What he's just going to ask is, believe Jesus now. Believe Jesus. That's what I believed. The truth is, you didn't explain with Jesus. The Jesus he knows is the opposite of Muhammad. He says that when it's not Muhammad, it's Jesus. And he has already had a preconceived notion about Jesus. Okay, when I just believe him, he will make me prosper. I'll be going to church. That's it. So you don't just say believe Jesus. You explain the Lord. Is it making sense? There must be a learning. Teach all nations. Hallelujah. He didn't rush it. Look at verse 37. The result of his sermon now. Can we read it all together? Now when they heard, they were pricked in their hearts. When they heard. Is that faith? Is that faith? Yes. Faith comes by hearing. When they heard, when he was done explaining, faith was birthed. That is discipleship. That's how to raise disciples. In chapter 3, when he and John went into the temple at the hour of prayer to pray, they found a man by the beautiful gate who was lame. They healed him. And then they seized the opportunity to preach. Verse 13. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you have delivered up, and denied. See where it started from again. The God of Abraham. That's the God of. Is that where it started in Acts 2? Joel. Promise. Promise. Fulfillment. Verify the fulfillment. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son, Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, and when he was determined to let him go. Verse 14. But you denied the only one and the just, and you desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are also witnesses. And his name through faith is in this man has been strong. Yea, faith which is by him has given him perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I would that you were, you know, when you did it, but those things which God has pursued by the mouth of the prophet, that Christ should suffer and also fulfill, repent ye therefore and be converted. I have since with brother that when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you, whom the devil must receive. See what he's doing. Verse 22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet of the Lord God raised unto you, of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear whatsoever things they say unto you. And it came to pass, that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed among the people. Yea, all the prophets from Samuel. See how he's doing it. Verse 26. Unto you, God, first God has raised his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning everyone from his what? Iniquities. You must explain. The message of the gospel is not rushed. It takes your time to explain. Acts 4. Verse 10. When they were under persecution, Peter preached again. There be known unto you all people of Israel, that the name of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, whom God has raised from the dead, even by that man stand here before you all. This is the stone that was set at naught by builders, and now it has become the cornerstone. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Again, preaching. Acts 5, verse 19. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and what? Didasko. Sorry, I'm mixing up in my head. Didasko, D-I-D-A-S-K-O. They thought, didasko, which means to what? From the daskalia, to what? Explain. To explain. They enter into the temple and thought. That's the way the gospel is presented. You will explain. You find that word didasko in Acts 4:2. Then grieved that they taught the people. So, when Peter and John were arrested, the excuse of the Pharisees was that they taught the people. He said Peter and John were teaching. They were explaining. Didasko. That means they took time And they were explaining one by one, one by one, one by one. So what you saw as the God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, they thought. Praise God. Take time. Take time to teach. That's why you must also understand the message. Thank God, glory to God, I'll teach forgiveness of sins tomorrow. I will help you understand it better. They thought. You find it in Acts 14, Didasco, verse 26. Verse 20. Yeah, verse 20, verse 21 actually. Let's have verse 20. How be that disciples stood round about him, and he rose up and came into the city the next day and departed with Barnabas unto Derbe. And when he had preached the gospel into that city, and taught many, when he had preached the gospel, he explained he had preached the gospel as what? He taught. That word "and" there is explaining. When he had preached the gospel, that is, he had taught many. So the gospel is an explanation. You find the word in that school, Acts 18, verse 25, talking about Apollos. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spoke and taught diligently the things of the Lord. He taught, that is, explained. Acts 20:20. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable to you, but I've shown you and I've taught you publicly and from house to house. You find Acts 22:3, Acts 21:28, Galatians 1:2. Galatians 6:6, 1 Thessalonians 4:9, 1 John 2:27, Titus 2:11, that's the grace of God that appeared unto all men, teaching us, Titus 2:11, Colossians 3:16. Alright, so when you are preaching the gospel to the unsaved, ensure you explain well. Is that clear? Ensure you explain well. Take your time. Look at, let's go back to the sermons in the book of Acts and see how they raised their own disciples. Acts 5. Don't forget, that's good that brought us to all these ones I just said. Acts 5. Verse 29. In verse 28, the persecutors, they were persecuting them. Then he said to them, did we not command you that you should not teach in his name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. You have filled Jerusalem with your explanation. So that means Peter and the apostles were not just mere going about and say, come to the synagogue. They were teaching. You have filled yourself with your doctrine and intend to bring this man good upon us. Verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus up, whom you slew and hanged on the tree. Can you see what I'm saying? About discipling the persecutor himself. Raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on the tree. Him God has exalted Israel to be a person, a savior, to give repentance unto Israel and to forgiveness of sin. And we are witnesses to these things. So it's also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. Again, they are explaining. Acts 7. Stephen explained the entire Bible. In Acts 7. He preached the entire Bible. From Joseph. It's Stephen and Jonah. The entire Bible read. Abraham, Isaac, David. In Acts 8, Philip preached to the Enoch. The Enoch was reading the book of Isaiah. Philip said, understandest thou what thou readest? Do you understand what you are reading? The Enoch said in Acts 8, how can I understand? I think Acts 8, 32. Let's start from verse 30. Philip ran to him and heard him read the Isaiah. Now, this someone random on the street that was just going. Philip went close to him and he heard him that the guy was reading Isaiah. That's verse 30. And Philip ran to him and heard him read Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I expect a man guide me? And he desired that Philip would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture where he read was Isaiah 53:7-8. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. His revelation. Verse 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray you, who is this prophet talking about, himself or another man? Can we say verse 35 together? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him, beginning from that scripture. So, the preaching of the gospel is not come to our church. From so far, do we see anybody, any of the apostles, trying to lure someone to the church? What are they doing? Preaching. They were teaching. They were explaining. So there's no discipleship without teaching. And what I'm talking about is rigorous, painstaking teaching. Observe the way we teach in church. Take that to your teachers. Hallelujah. Or can you call me a lazy teacher? I need to release us first. You can't. Except you have been in coma. You can't call me a lazy teacher. So you take that same training to your teachers. You painstakingly teach. How can you go follow up and 10 minutes you are done? Follow up of 10 minutes. What were you saying there? You went on outreach. And you are done with someone 5 minutes. Who is pushing you? You, so that you don't raise a false convert, you must be careful. Teach. Hallelujah. I have so many things to say unto you. And you can bear them. There's no time. So don't preach a lie to get people into church. You know? Just get into church at all costs. I just want them to get into church, you know. At least, if everybody now starts coming to church. No. Preach the gospel. Don't forget, the message is one. It's one because we have been sent. He has committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. So that means it's specific. The message is one. Every tribe and tongue, the message is the same. You must disciple. We are not in it just to bring crowds. Just to ensure that our pews are filled. Our auditorium is full. We are not having first service, second service, third service. We don't want that. If they are not learning. The only reason why we want to have men using like that in that number is that more men are being saved and more men are learning about Jesus, right? Right? More men are being saved. I'm charging you, I'm beseeching you, I'm begging you, I'm encouraging you to come in here, painstakingly decide. Put your life into it. See the way Peter did, see the way the apostles did. Look at Paul, the way he taught in Acts 13. That is how to preach the gospel. You must take your time. If you observe the content of the message, you discover that it stays on the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and the forgiveness of sin. When the times of oppression will come from the presence of the Lord, our sins may be blotted out. It stays with the forgiveness of sin. That's the content of the gospel. Our sins are forgiven. You observe that in the instances, there are times people believe. Right? There are times people don't believe. For example, there are men that rejected Paul. So in every time that you even preach, there are people who believe. There are times that people mock you. Have been mocked. Well, but you have to try a new thing to get me discouraged. Mockery cannot be it. Hallelujah. Just like Moses, who took on the reproaches of God, who considered it greater treasures than that of Egypt. Hallelujah. They mock you, they laugh at you, but stay with the message. Don't join the bad wagon. Or people are just sharing palliative, share rights. They are becoming competent. Sharing intimate. He said, "He told me so that we can come to this man to do. He thinks that your salvation to the instant, but that people go to the instant. Stay with the message. Stay with the message. It has got the power of God in it. Romans 1. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God. It's the power of God to save. It's the power of God to save." I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I will proclaim it. I will scream it on the rooftop.
I will let the world know that Jesus is Lord. I will painstakingly teach. I will raise them with the explanation of Christ. I will raise them with the gospel. I won't appear. I won't provide the gospel. I will preach what the apostles taught. And men will yield, just like they yielded in those days. I will see the power hold. I will see men arrest. I will see men feeding to the power of God. I will see men in their numbers, in their tens, in their hundreds. They will yield to the power of God. As I preach and teach, the gospel is possible in heaven. It doesn't sound like an advice. It doesn't sound like a motivational speech. It will be strong if you go with the power of God. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want. Just stay with the message. Preaching the gospel. Wasting the sound. That is the call. The call is not to feed our churches. The call is to get men saved. As we get them saved, they come to church. Right? We fellowship together. They will be trained to also get men saved. Till we reach the world with the gospel of Christ. Because definitely things will happen. Definitely things will happen. As the world discovers the sea, the heads shall be covered with the glory of the Lord. That's short. As the waters cover the sea. Is there a time that waters don't cover the sea? It's called sea because it's water. So it's telling you, the prophet is telling you how certain it's going to be. That there will come a time, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. I'll be there. I'll be there. I'm a part of it. I'm a part of it. I'm strong. I'm strong in reaching the world. You believe that? That's your faith.